Amen.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 14. We'll read from verse 14 down to verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it reads, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray. O God, we are grateful for the opportunity to worship and to spend time within your precious word. So we pray, O blessed Holy Spirit, that you would teach us. Please give us understanding, that we might obey and be changed into your likeness. O God, we pray for your blessing upon the Sunday school ministry this morning. Guide and lead each of the teachers as they minister the Word of God to our children. And for those caring for the young ones in the nursery, Lord, we pray that you'd use them to be a blessing to each child present, that they might see Christ Jesus, our hope and glory in them. For we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Throughout our study on the book of Ephesians, we have stressed the fact that chapters 1, 2, and 3 are the doctrinal basis of the book. And chapters 4 to 6 are the practical outflow. The word walk is used 7 times from chapter 4 onwards, affirming the practical instruction that is within chapters 4, 5, and 6. In chapter 4, verse 1, we are reminded that we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Our conduct as Christians needs to reflect our commitment to Jesus Christ. We are to walk in newness of life, not in the ways of the past, unregenerated life. And that's emphasized there in chapter 4, verse 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And then in chapter 5, verse 1, please, chapter 5, verse 1, we are instructed to follow God and walk in love. Note there in chapter 5, verse 1, it reads, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children," verse 2, "and walk in love." Our motivation in following the Lord should be our love for the Lord, because he first loved us and proved his love for us in dying on the cross for our sin. Note there in chapter 2, it goes on to read, "As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God." So we love God because he first loved us. And we are to walk in love and give evidence that we are followers of God by love being our motivation, our love for God. Because God first loved us, we follow Him because we love Him. Love is the greatest motivator known to man. Nothing motivates people more than love. And our love for God should motivate us to follow Him. To follow Him. And then in verses 3 to 5 of Ephesians chapter 5, God gives us a warning concerning perversions of biblical love. Makes reference to fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Verse 4, filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting. We're to love God and we need to guard our hearts lest we become victims of following a perverted substitute for biblical love. And then from verses 6 all the way down to verse number 13, God provides guidance in dealing with these perversions of love evident in the world. And this is described as choosing to no longer walk in darkness, but to walk in the light of God. Note then verse 8, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now in order to walk as children of light, verses 6 all the way down to 13, stress the fact that you and I must remove anything within our lives that darkens the light of God's life and guidance. As it reads then, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What God reveals within your heart and within my heart and within your life and my life that takes away from you and I walking in the light needs to be addressed. And as we stressed in the past, needs to be radically amputated. Now we come to verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So now we come to verse 14 in our study. And from here, God spells out clearly that God has given us light through Christ. Now the basis of this verse is in Isaiah chapter 60, please. Go to Isaiah chapter 60, please. Isaiah chapter 60. It would seem the basis, at least in the end of the verse, has its basis here in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, in which it reads, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now this is in reference to the nation of Israel here in Isaiah chapter 60, and God promised them light, and that they would be a light to Gentile nations. So with that basis, we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, and note once again at the end of verse 14 it reads, and Christ shall give thee light. This verse exhorts us that for those of us that have this newness of light in our lives, that we are to shine. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. John 8, 12. He that believeth in him should not walk in darkness, but in light. And my friend, if you are without Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I invite you to come to the light. The light found in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world in this world full of darkness. And we have this light in Christ. We have this light within us. And we can be a light in this world of darkness. And just like God promised Israel that you will be my light in a world full of darkness, in Isaiah chapter 60. And so likewise, you and I as Bible-believing Christians, we are called upon to be a light in this world full of darkness. So therefore the cry is there in verse 14, awake thou that sleepest. God has given us light and life, and we are called upon to shine brightly for God's glory. So how can we best shine the light of Christ before others? Christ shall give thee light, as it reads there at the end of verse 14. Note verse 15 once again. See then, that you walk circumspectly. So we have the answer right here, that God begins to expound how you and I can be that light in this world of darkness, because Christ has given us light and life in his person. Why has God given us light? Why does God give us guidance? So that we will walk wisely. Note then verse 15 once again. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now note the word circumspectly there in verse 15, please. The word means carefulness, cautiousness, vigilance, that we are to walk cautiously. We are to walk carefully. We are to walk vigilantly. We are to not walk as if we are sleepwalking. Because note there back in verse number 14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. We are not to be sleepwalkers in a spiritual sense. We are to walk circumspectly. We are to walk the Christian life with alertness and vigilance. Why? Because we have a real enemy. Note there in 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse number 8, it reads, be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be awake. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So, beloved, we need to walk circumspectly. We are to walk cautiously. We are to walk carefully, vigilantly. Don't be careless. Don't be guideless. Don't be thoughtless how you walk. That is in the context of your Christian life. On a human level, we need to walk carefully, lest we fall, lest we trip. And so, more so spiritually, you and I need to walk circumspectly. Now, let's note the context of this charge is to a group of believers in a city, the city of Ephesus, that had many dangers and possible traps for these believers, such as wealth and prosperity. The city of Ephesus was a hub. There was a lot of wealth there. Prosperity. Not only wealth and prosperity, immorality. Immorality was everywhere within the city. And also the worship of other gods, like the goddess Diana, who promised prosperity. She was the goddess of fertility. Ephesus was the headquarters in the production of this idol and the worship of the goddess Diana. So this city was a very prosperous city. We had the privilege of visiting the archaeological site of the city of Ephesus, and we saw with our eyes internal plumbing within houses, the evidence of showers. People were wealthy in this city. So God's people were charged, walk circumspectly, be careful, be vigilant. Watch how you walk. The danger of wealth and prosperity, immorality and the worship of other gods, such as the goddess Diana, let alone the worship of the emperor, the Roman emperor. Emperor worship was demanded because it was considered the unifying element amongst Roman citizens. So therefore, it's no coincidence that within the book of Ephesians, the charge to his people is, walk circumspectly. Be careful how you walk, where you walk. These believers were to navigate around these major temptations and evils. They were charged on the basis that they have been given the light of Christ. So then, that you walk circumspectly. And then verse 15, back in Ephesians chapter 5, defines this walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So to walk circumspectly means to walk wisely. The contrast is given here between walking as a fool or walking wisely. So this implies choice. You need to make a deliberate decision to walk wisely and not walk foolishly. And I see here also this implies it's either one or the other. Either you and I are walking wisely or we are walking foolishly. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25? The Lord Jesus made reference to 5 being wise and 5 being foolish. Well, what does it mean to walk foolishly? Well, go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Just back up into Galatians chapter 3, pardon me. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, it reads, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So what does it mean to walk foolishly? It means to not obey the truth. The context of the book of Galatians is that there were those that believed in salvation by faith plus works. And the Apostle Paul rebuked these believers amongst the churches of Galatia and said, how foolish that you should not obey the truth of the Word of God. So the Bible calls us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. To walk wisely means I will walk in obedience to the truth of God's Word. It's not complicated. The Christian life is not complicated. Otherwise, disobedience is foolishness and leads to sin and leads to destruction. In fact, in Proverbs 24:9, it reads, "The thought of foolishness is sin." That's where it begins. So we are to walk cautiously, not as fools, but as wise. Let's read on verse 16, please, of Ephesians chapter 5. So how do we walk circumspectly? How do we walk wisely and not as fools, thereby being that light? Christ shall give thee light, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Walking circumspectly, walking wisely, means that I value the time God has given to me, and I will use it wisely to shine His light before others. The word redeem means to buy back, to maximize. We have to be good stewards of our time. God will hold us accountable. There in Colossians chapter 4, please, quickly. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So note the connection there, redeeming the time. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Evil. Back in the context of the writing of this book, these believers lived and existed in the midst of evil. Nothing's changed. So do we. This word evil is the comes from a base word that we get the word pornography. And the word pornography, or the base word that we, pornography, has the idea of hurt, to harm. Evil harms, does it not? It's destructive. And we are to redeem the time. We are to buy back the time. We are to maximize the life that we have, because we live in evil days. The devil is out to destroy. Note there in John chapter 10, please, the Gospel of John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. Our Lord gives us a contrast concerning the thief in reference to the devil and himself. John 10:10 reads, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." My friend, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He died, was buried, and rose again. And He offers life eternal to all. The devil is out to steal, destroy, kill. So what do we see today? Stealing, killing, destroying. Jesus Christ came to give life. And He offers you and I life, eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in and through Jesus Christ. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You and I need to buy back time. We need to maximize the life that God has given to us, because we live in evil days. We are to walk wisely. We are to walk circumspectly because we have an adversary, the devil, who is out to kill, to steal, to destroy. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. To buy back, to maximize, to be good stewards of the life that God has given to us. May I remind you, my friend, that God's general quota of life is 70. Psalm 90, verse 10. That's God's quota. As I often refer to it, it's a quota, not a promise. You might not live that long. You might live a little bit longer. But God's general quota is 70, 70 years. Are we living wisely for the Lord within the time, the life, the well-being we have now? Could it well be, I've often thought about, why does God give us a quota? Why did God say 70? Could it be that God wants us to be mindful that our time is short and we need to maximize the time, the well-being we have on this side of eternity? Could it be that God has given us this quota so we will use the time we have wisely because it's running out eventually? I have 10 years to go. Turn 60 this year. That's God's quota. If God sees fit to give me 10, now, I'm not being pessimistic, it actually motivates me. God's quota for me is 70. 70. I've got 10 years. I've got to maximize the 10 years if he gives me that. He might give me more. He might not give me 10. Remember, it's a quota. Not a promise. Otherwise, God's a liar. Some people live longer. Some people don't make 70. Some people don't make 20. Some people don't make 10. 5. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. It seems many spend time on things that don't really matter, as opposed to spending time on that which pays eternal dividends. Our Lord Jesus encourages us in Matthew chapter 6 to lay up treasure in heaven. Matthew 6:20. Are we using our time, our life, our well-being to be that light that we need to be? So God has given us light, a light to shine. We can shine brightly by walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, not wasting time, not taking for granted, well, I've got years. Beloved, I still remember turning 14, believe it or not, 21, 30, 40, 50, and even 60. It all seems like yesterday. Are you and I redeeming the time? Are we that light in this world of darkness? If we are to redeem the time and live out our lives to the full, We need to make sure that we are living the life that God has called us to live. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Note verse 17. I'd like to submit to you that verse 17 connects with verse 16 and connects with verse 15 and connects with verse 14. That's the context. Look at verse 17. Wherefore? Whenever you read the word wherefore or therefore, ask yourself the question, why is it there? There's a reason for this. So based upon what has been said, verse 15, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days of are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. So the context here is still walking wisely, is it not? Talk to me. Not as fools, but as wise. So he's still on that. He's still hung up on that, the Apostle Paul. Walking wisely. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Note, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Knowing and doing God's will. Listen to me carefully. Knowing and doing God's will, that is how we redeem the time. Make the most of the life that God has given to us, redeeming the time, because the days of evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Knowing and doing God's will is how we redeem time in such evil days. In Psalm 90 verse 12, the psalmist said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We can do this when we understand and we do God's will. Redeeming the time is not about time management. That's elementary. The context is making sure that we are living in the center of God's will. So stop patting yourself on the back because you have this expensive diary and it controls your life and you've got good habits. I challenge you, are you doing the will of God? That is the context of redeeming the time. Does that make sense? That's the context, is it not? Talk to me. Talk to me. Yes. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore? Be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord. So in other words, if you and I are to truly redeem the time, we need to make sure that we are just not just maintaining good time management, which is good, that we are not just doing what we should be doing as Christians, but that we are ultimately doing the will, fulfilling the will of God for our lives. That is redeeming the time. That is the context. God has a perfect will for each of our lives. We can know it. We have God's general will spelled out within the scriptures. And yet God has a specific will for your life and for my life. From verse 18, we find God's general will. And God willing, if the Lord tarries his return, we'll discuss verses 18 and following. It is walking in the light of God's general will that God will unveil to us his specific will. And if we are walking in the Spirit and we are fulfilling our roles within the home and work, we will note in the weeks to come, God will unveil his perfect will for our lives. We are assured that God has a perfect will for each one of us. Let's be reminded of Romans chapter 12, please. Quickly, Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect, complete will of God. Will of God. Are we fully surrendered to the Lord? Are we renewing our minds daily with the Word of God? These are the prerequisites. Saying no to the world, that God will reveal to us his good, acceptable, and perfect will. The Apostle Paul understood and fulfilled God's perfect will for his life. In Philippians chapter 3, he makes reference to that which I considered gain, I consider now a loss for Christ. I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, God promised to give light to his children, so you and I can walk cautiously, walk wisely, redeeming the time, because we live in evil days. Wherefore be ye not unwise, verse 17, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So to walk cautiously, to walk wisely, my friend, it involves redeeming the time. Redeeming the time is not just good time management. It is understanding and fulfilling the will of God. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We have his general will spelled out in the scriptures. And it's on the basis of his general will that God will unveil his specific will. That's how you and I redeem the time. That time that God gives us. Remember the quota? 70. If you're beyond that, you've got a bit of a bonus. But no guarantees. How much longer? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Don't be unwise. but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It is within the pool of God's general will for our lives that we can truly redeem the time by understanding and fulfilling God's perfect will. My friend, God has a plan for your life. And in fulfilling it, you will be redeeming the time. Let me ask you this morning, are you walking cautiously or carelessly? Are we redeeming the time? Are we living for the Lord while we are surrounded by evil? Do we understand? Are we fulfilling God's perfect will for our lives? My friend, God has given us light. Verse 14, Christ shall give thee light. That light which is in Christ. So we can walk wisely by redeeming the time in understanding and doing the will of God. So the whole point of my sermon this morning is, are you within the will of God? Now we can be doing good things, spiritual things, but are you in the will of God? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Of course, we're all meant to read our Bibles and pray and be in church and love people and forgive and be a witness for Christ. But God has a specific will for you. And God's given us a general quota, 70. Not a promise, it's a quota. It's an average. I'm a pastor, the average person in Australia lives to 85. Yeah, I know that. Does that mean you're going to live to 85? Guaranteed? Stop kidding yourself. Tomorrow morning we might be planning your funeral. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How do we redeem the time? Wherefore? Don't be unwise. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Are you, am I, in the center of God's will? That's how we redeem the time. Let's bow for prayer.